welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. One thing for sure, Connor, with you playing the music, I won't be nodding out.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. You know, I've always said that if you want to stay young, hang around young people. So I'm hanging around young Connor, and I'm going to be forever young as he plays that young music. I wanted to talk about now, there's so many things that happened in this country that we don't talk about and that happened, you know, in a vacuum. Here's another one. I've come to accept that I'll likely never own a home. It's not the end of the world, I suppose, but reminding myself it could always be much, much worse is key to rationalizing this. I'm not alone either. You've heard it before. Millennials are the first generation worse off than their parents. And so you come after the millennials, right? You're an X.
Yeah, Gen Z, actually.
Yeah, and then X.
No, X is before millennials.
Oh, X is before millennials.
Yeah, so it goes boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, which are millennials, and then Gen Z, which is anything after 1997, about, so like the 2000s.
After 1997.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I'm 2001, so.
You were born in 2001?
2000. I mean, 21 years old. It's 22.
Come on, man. 2001.
Yep.
Wow. But here's the part of all of this that is so different and so new in your generation that gets the short end of the stick on things. Because there are people who fought for my generation. And that was, you know, parents and who made sacrifices for my generation. And then my generation made sacrifices for that Generation X. Is that what you said comes after us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Generation X. And it's like that's not, it's like dominoes. And, you know, where, you know, the first domino hits and all the rest of them fall. In my lifetime, I've kind of witnessed that from the dominoes all standing erect and no dominoes falling to now the first domino falls and all the rest of them tumble down. That's where we are now in the society and things that are happening. You almost don't believe they can happen. And here's a prime example. New findings from Pew reveal that around 25% of single-family homes sold in 2021 were purchased by investors. Now, how does it make sense that as people are trying to buy homes, that you allow 25% of those homes to be bought by investors, who then go and jack the prices up on the homes.
Yeah, and then resell them for profit.
Yeah.
Yep.
How is that a good thing, man? Somebody tell me how that's a good thing. While there's a shortage of homes, you know, I get, and this is the truth, at least 4 or 5 times a week, I get calls from people and texts from people who want to buy my home. They call, hey, Earl, how you doing, Earl? I'm like, who is this? Earl, you know, it's Joe, and I want to talk about buying your house. Hey, man, I don't know who you are, first off. No, I don't want to sell my house, you know, but it's nonstop. But why is it okay for all these investors to buy up the homes, jack the prices up on people who can't afford to do that? Why is that? I know that's good business, but is that good for the people? So new findings from Pew reveal that around 25% of single-family homes sold in 2021 were purchased by investors. private equity firms, and over 75% of purchases were made in cash. Now, that's good if you're willing to sell your house. If you're in the market for selling your house, there's never been a time as good as this one that just passed if you wanted to sell your house. But here's the catch. You sell your house for a higher market price than what it's worth. But where are you going to go to live? You now have to go and purchase a house that is overinflated, and you wind up paying more for the house that you're going to move into, even though you got more for selling your house. That same principle holds true now when you go out to buy a new home. And so what has happened is they put the average person behind the eight ball, the young person, the Generation Xer, the Generation Y, who may now be entering into a time when it's time for them to buy their first homes.
Honestly, it's kind of weird because I don't even expect personally to own a home until a pretty later part of my life. That's just like what most people my age are just thinking about, like home ownership and then having your own family, having your own separate from what you do for work. It's not very common. I don't really know very many people unless they're getting married or something. So it is a problem. It's a really, really, really huge.
Well, listen, on average, the rent is $2,000.
Yeah, I think the average cost of living in the country is around $3,000, actually. And that's for rent plus everything else. And, you know, you're not going to make that from a $15 an hour living wage.
Yeah.
Like you're not, or minimum wage. You're not going to make that whatsoever. So,
well, you know the tragedy in that, Connor, is you've got people who've worked 30 years making $12 an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've worked and they've done all those things that people ask them to do. And they make $12 an hour. And they're never able to own anything. But that's not just enough. The real issue is, you know, when they become old enough for Social Security,
yeah.
You know, and your Social Security amount is tied into how much you made. So if you didn't make a lot of money during your lifetime and your lifespan, you don't expect to get a lot of it back when it comes to Social Security. And I've been talking about this for a long time, and I haven't gotten anybody to chime in on it yet. But all these people, man, of my age and my generation, who are retiring and who don't have pensions and who are relying on Social Security and Medicare, and it's going to be rough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you had Andrew Yang talk about universal basic income. That's a very, you know, popular idea to fix this issue, at least in the short term. Right, because this is like a very, very current. I mean, you have two issues happening at the same time, right? You have what you're talking about, and then you also have young people not being able to enter into the marketplace, or not being able to have a lot of assets, right? And so these are two very, very big issues. But they're being worked, right? Tremendously, right? They're being worked, like you said, $12 an hour, $15 an hour, 40 hours a week, constant amounts of work.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone. I mean, I was reading some studies earlier, I think directly from Pew, I'm not really all too sure, but talking about how human happiness and then direction and purpose actually makes it so people are a lot more productive, right?
Most
places, I think we were also talking about this earlier with unions and such, like at places, at work establishments where unions have more of a cohesive community, right? And there is more of a purpose. People tend to actually work a lot more versus places where they feel like they're being used,
or, yeah.
the company culture isn't more altruistic. Beside a place like Amazon, that only works because everyone uses Amazon, you know. But
Amazon, man, it doesn't work because they don't want long-term employees.
Exactly. Every single their system is so well designed, right, to where they can literally replace it with automation, with a literal machine, and nothing changes.
But they're always going to need some human beings, but the problem is there's such heavy turnover, and that's what they want. They don't want long-term employees who will accumulate benefits and other things. And the problem with that model is that along the way, they're not going to be able to find enough people to keep replacing those people. So anyway, man, hey, thank you, Connor, as always. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Our phone lines are always open at 844-967-2789. Enjoy the day and kind of great music. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.